Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've been focusing a lot on my health this past year, both physical and mental. Physical health is easier. You just exercise and stop eating all kinds of junk food. Mental health can be trickier because it's so hard to find good help. Plus, we don't all have good support structures in place to help us in our mental health journey. It's not enough to find a good therapist. You have to find a good therapist who also matches your personality. That's why I like to use BetterHelp. BetterHelp will connect you with the perfect therapist for you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, or switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Personally, I love it because it's convenient, and I'm kind of picky, so it's nice to be able to shop around for the right therapist for me. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/r/today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/r/. Welcome to r/Petty Revenge, where OP tricks her terrible roommate into pooping her own pants. Our next Reddit post is from Unhinged. This was around 15 years ago. I had a flatmate, Julie, who was always complaining that she was poor and never paid her bills on time. Then she announced that she's headed to Bali for a week. I said, "Before you go, are you going to give me the money you owe me for your part of the utility bills?" She said that she would do it when she gets back. I'm livid, and off she goes. On the last day, she messages me and told me that she got Bali belly and she has diarrhea all day and she's worried about the flight home. She also tells me that she's broke and she asks me to pay for her taxi home, which is about $100. She said that she's worried about taking public transportation back because her stomach is still upset. I told her I'd be working and not home to pay for her taxi. She says fine. She'll ask one of her friends who's on holiday to give her the money. She then tells me that she didn't take her house keys with her, so she asked me to hide the keys somewhere so that she could get into the house when she gets home. I don't reply, but I assume she thinks that I'll do what she says. Anyways, I wasn't really working, so I hid in my bedroom and I could see the front entrance from my bedroom upstairs and peek out the window. I watch her drive up and exit the taxi. She couldn't locate the keys, so she starts trying all different ways of getting inside. I had prepared and made sure every access point was locked up. She starts calling my phone, which I ignore. I can hear her swearing, and then she's doubled over, and before I know it, she starts pooping herself. She's in a denim skirt, and it's runny. Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't quite expecting her to poop herself on our doorstep. I was more thinking that she'd freak out and have to sit outside all day until I came home, but this was a far more perfect outcome. I only wish I could have filmed it. She is horrified, but changes into something from her luggage and hides her soiled clothes and suitcase in a bush in the front yard and takes off down the street. I take that opportunity to leave the house, and on my way out, while gagging, I placed her poopy clothes inside of her suitcase with her clean clothes. This story is pretty funny. A few hours later, I finally call her back, pretending to be on my lunch break, and she's screaming down the phone, blaming me for not leaving out her keys and that she's been sitting outside for hours begging me to come and let her in. I said, "Sorry, I still have to finish work, and I have plans this evening, so you'll have to either call a locksmith or wait until I get home." She said that I can order a taxi to deliver my keys, which I refuse. She hangs up, and then I treat myself to 2 back-to-back movies at the cinema and a nice dinner. I get home later that evening, and she's broken a window to get inside. The next morning, I contact the landlord and tell him what she did. Since we paid rent individually and they always had issues with her late rent, they said that they would look at evicting her because they'd had enough too. She wouldn't speak to me at all, and a few weeks later, I was informed by the landlord that she's moving out. We never spoke again, and I'm pretty sure she tells the story as me being a psycho flatmate, and I'm happy to wear that badge proudly. Down in the comments, King Martino asks, "How is she not suspicious by the fact that her clothes move themselves inside of her suitcase?" Opie says, "I should have added, she left that suitcase outside for 3 days. Since we never spoke again, I'm assuming that she figured out that I played a part in her incident. My new flatmate was fabulous, and we lived together for 3 years until I moved to another country. amazing 3-day-old diarrhea that's been sitting out in the sun in a suitcase. I'm guessing she had to throw away all of her clothes inside of the suitcase, including the suitcase itself. I mean, maybe you could wash that out, maybe, but would you even want to? And the suitcase, I mean, that'd be beyond repair, right? So altogether, considering all the stuff she might have thrown away, it would have been way, way cheaper if she had just paid you what she owed you. Our next Reddit post is from Andrew QR. So there was this event at a bar that I was planning to go to this weekend, and I asked this guy to be my date that night because I don't like to be alone in crowded, unfamiliar places. At first, he seemed quite enthusiastic because he messaged me a lot about it. One time, he casually mentioned how expensive going out in New York City has become, which is true. I said, "No worry, I'll pick up the tab and we'll have a good time." I genuinely didn't think of it as a big deal since I'm not the most frugal person in the world. So the night before our supposed date, I wanted to confirm everything and I messaged him. I said, "We can grab something to eat beforehand. What kind of food do you like?" He replied saying that there's a sushi place in Queens that he wants to try. Initially, I thought that this was bizarre because the bar that I want to go to is in the West Village. And if we did what he wants, then I would have to forfeit most of the night to be in Queens. And the only reason why we were even hanging out in the first place is because I wanted to go to this specific bar. So I made the logical response, suggesting that we could get something else near the bar. He became unresponsive. When I pressed him for confirmation for the itinerary, he said that he would need to think about it. At this point, I realized that he basically just thought of me as a meal ticket. He was trying to get me to capitulate to his demands because it's already Friday night and I'm running out of options of people still free and available. He really derailed my plan. So I pulled out my phone and booked myself a $400 17-course omakase at a very nice place in the village. I had a blast with the insanely delicious meal, and I posted the picture of the sushi to my Instagram stories. He messaged me later, claiming he's sorry that he got busy with family, blah blah blah, and I just blocked him immediately. Man, I feel kind of bad. I have never in my entire life been asked on a date by a girl where they offered to pay. This dude got the holy grail, and he still blew it! A free meal from a lady treating you? That's so nice! This dude gets all the luck and he squanders it. Could have had an amazing sushi meal with what seems like a pretty chill, cool girl to be around, and he just blew it. Sad, honestly. Our next Reddit post is from Uncle Yuri. This happened about a year after my divorce. My ex-wife had been acting petty and childish, to say the least. She tries to make me look bad any attempt she gets. My young son played t-ball last year, and I volunteered to be the coach. I really enjoyed it, but my work responsibilities and schedule changed before this season, and I simply couldn't commit to do it again. I became good friends with the guy running the league, and I let him know before the signups even started as a heads up that I couldn't do it this year. We were both disappointed, but there wasn't much I could do about it. What I was able to do was volunteer to get to the field super early on Saturday before the games to set them up. Chalk the lines to the batter boxes, chalk the lines to the foul lines, put out bases, etc., which the other guy was extremely grateful for. A few weeks before the season was supposed to start, they were unfortunately short a couple of coaches and were sending out some desperation emails to all the parents. My ex knew my situation, and apparently she thought that going onto the website and basically fraudulently volunteering me to be the coach would be a great way to inconvenience me and make me look bad by having to back out, so she did just that. My buddy running the league called me, very confused. In order to register, you have to make a username and password. The username is just your email, so after a few minutes of investigating, we worked out that this was her because of her email. Ultimately, the other guy decided to put his kid on my son's team and also be their coach. The other coach was pissed off at my ex, though, because this stunt could have set them back in finding a legit coach if they needed to, possibly delaying the league. Here's where I come up with the petty revenge. The coach sent out the official email to all the parents of the league with the rosters and coaches for all 10 teams. Except for our kid's team, I tell him instead of listing himself, he should list my ex. He puts her name and contact info and says to expect further info from each coach individually. She emails the guy back once she notices to point out this mistake, saying that it should have been me instead, but he just ignores it. He just sends her all the official information and asks for times that she can come pick up the equipment, the whole nine yards. After a couple of days, the parents of the team apparently start emailing her, asking her for info on when the season starts, when practice will be, and all that. Eventually, my friend does reply back to my ex-wife, playing dumb. He tells her he knows that she's the one who volunteered because it was her username that registered. And he knew that it wasn't supposed to be me who registered because he had spoken to me months earlier and knew that I wasn't able to do it this year. This put my ex-wife in an awkward spot, because she either had to admit that she lied, or feign some BS ignorance and claim a miscommunication, which everyone knew was nonsense since we were divorced. After she flat out says that she can't coach and isn't sure what to tell him, my friend sends another email to the entire league, which says, "Due to the coach of our team backing out at the very last minute, I have no choice but to take on coaching the team myself, on top of the rest of my responsibilities. Moving forward, we ask that coaches don't volunteer unless they plan on fulfilling that commitment." My friend didn't mention my ex-wife by name, but everyone saw the rosters and knew that he was talking about her. My ex-wife texted me a few weeks later once the season started about how, "Your buddy is a butthole for doing that to me, all over a glitch in the registration software, because multiple people have approached me and asked me not so nicely what happened, and I'm getting looks from people during the games." What a satisfying text to receive. I kind of feel like this revenge is like T-ball itself, because in T-ball, you just put the ball on the tee. It's so easy to hit, you know? It's just intentionally easy. It's almost as if your wife intentionally made revenge against her super easy. She just set up the situation, and all you and your friend had to do was just turn the tables on her. Our next Reddit post is from Paul Trait. 5 years ago, I had a PlayStation account and a PS4, but I didn't have two-factor authentication. Anywho, one morning I woke up to see $500 in charges to the PlayStation Network on my credit card for that account. I ended up contacting PlayStation support to explain the situation, and they tried to gaslight me by saying that I must have legitimately purchased what was a slew of PS3 games. I never owned a PS3, and that I must have shared my password with whoever did the purchasing. Turns out the purchase was from Brazil. There was a lot of back and forth with them just not budging. They refused to just refund and remove the games after I changed my password and enabled two-factor authentication. I did a chargeback via my credit card, which led to my account being suspended. All in all, I probably had about $200 in digital games that I lost access to. So, for a bit of background on me, I'm a software developer in the middle of the US, and 5 years ago, the market was ridiculous. I had plans to go to a conference in California a couple of months after all this happened, and I was going to buy my own plane ticket. So, I had the idea of applying to a job with Sony in their San Jose tech office so I could get them to fly me out for my conference on their dime. Long story short, I heard back from a recruiter, the phone screen went well, and I was flown to my conference via a ticket provided by Sony. They even took me to lunch and paid for a night at a hotel so I could be in San Jose the day after the event. It actually worked out kinda nicely because I had another interview planned for there not too long afterwards, so it was a good opportunity to just practice interviewing. They ended up offering me a job. The pay was a lot lower than what I was making in Denver, despite it being a San Jose-based role. So I turned it down, and I ended up at a net positive of about $200. You know, I was thinking OP had about $200 worth of games, so OP could take the $200 that he saved and just rebuy the games that he had, and he'd be completely at a net neutral. However, actually, a lot of games, once you play them, you don't go back and replay them, so even then, OP's at a net positive. So, a win for OP! And in the spirit of video games, our next Reddit post is from Bouncy Pinata. So, for context on this next post, OP is shopping at a grocery store that has carts that lock together, and the only way to unlock them is to put a quarter into one of the carts, which allows you to use it as your cart. I was at Aldi, and there was a woman shopping by herself with a rather full cart. During my first encounter with her, she had her cart sideways blocking most of the aisle, standing against one side and looking at food at the other side. I make my way past her, and of course, as soon as I'm close, she steps forward to get the food that she was looking at. I politely do the, "Oops, excuse me," and wait to pass. I'm not even bothered yet. Whatever, this happens all the time. The second time, I'm pushing my cart along the outside and she's about to pull in front of me. She kinda half goes without looking, but hesitates, and I stop because I think she's about to pull in front of me. But then she doesn't, so I start to go forward, and then she hesitates again and pushes right in front of me. I roll my eyes. The third time I encounter her, she parks her cart totally sideways, blocking the whole aisle between those island freezers and the wall. She leaves her cart unattended and goes to get something else. So, in the middle of grumbling and reaching to move it, I instead put her latch onto my cart, leave my 3 to 4 items behind, and scurry off to get a new cart. I guess she didn't have a quarter to unlock the carts because I saw her trying to push both awkwardly at the same time in different directions to the checkout. That was r/Petty Revenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.